Our first passage is from John 17, 18. Jesus prayed to the Father, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." And in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this is a coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, I can't imagine any other voice but that voice of Jeff reading that passage. Amen. That is a powerful passage. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Living Water Church. We're starting a new sermon series today called Game On. It's time to change the world. And in this series, we're going to be talking about how God wants to use you, how he wants to use me to make a difference in our world, in your world right where you live. And really, this sermon series builds on the last series we just finished about making an impact on someone's life. And the truth is, there's something inside all of us that just wants to make a difference. We all have this desire to contribute. We have this desire to be used in a certain way. It's one of the reasons, I think, that we like to watch sports, because we see people come together and they do something together they couldn't possibly do on their own. I think it's probably one of the reasons why we like to play sports. I'm just curious, how many people here played sports when you were a kid? Organized sports, you were on a team of some sort. Yeah, a lot of us here did that. You know, my first experience with sports was kickball and Little League baseball. Wasn't very good at either one. And then I played a little basketball. I ran cross country for 1 year, decided that was a huge mistake. And I played soccer, you know, junior high and high school. I always enjoyed sports, but it really wasn't all that important to me. Now, my two younger brothers, they played basketball as well as soccer, but for them, basketball was everything. You know, as a kid, I tended to be more of the bench warmer than the star athlete. But many of us have this desire, we want to be in the game. We want to participate, but you know what it feels like to be put on the sidelines. Sometimes in sports that happens. Sometimes it's better for the team, for a young person like me, to just kind of sit on the bench so maybe they might win a game. But when it comes to God, he's not keeping you on the bench. He wants to use you. You were created by God, for God, and for a purpose to be used by God. The series, Game On, it's about this idea that it's time to get into the game. So go ahead and grab your message notes, and let's look at that key verse that Jeff just read for us from John chapter 17, verse 18. This is going to be the key verse for this whole series. And so I want us to read this verse out loud together. It's up there. It starts with the words "in the same way." See what that is? Let's read this together. "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. The same way I give them. Would you go ahead and circle that word, them? Okay? So as we look at this verse, Jesus is talking to God. He's praying to God. In the same way that you gave me this mission, okay, what was the mission he had? He came to live, to teach, to die on the cross, and to be resurrected again. He's saying, God, I'm going on this mission that you gave me, and he fulfilled that mission. But then he said, in the same way, I'm giving them. Who's the them? That's us. I mean, it certainly was those early disciples, but it's everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. It's all of us. The problem is not that God doesn't want to use me, because God does want to use me. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for you. The problem is sometimes when God calls our name and says, you're up, we say, me? I just feel a little more comfortable sitting here on this bench. Why don't you put someone else in, God? Maybe someone who's a little better than me. Maybe someone who's a little more pure than me. Maybe someone who knows the Bible better than me. And sometimes this happens in church. And a lot of churches have some people that are doing all these things, and they're being blessed. They're being used by God. They're busy using their spiritual gifts. They're welcoming people and leading teams and teaching the Bible and keeping their church looking at its very best. But the vast majority of people in a church often are sitting on the sidelines. And Jesus prayed this wouldn't be the case. Jesus prayed that you and I, that we would be used. At the end of our time today, I'm going to challenge you to pray a three-word prayer that's a very powerful prayer of simply praying, God, use me. But there's a biblical process that you have to go through before you can pray that prayer. And so let's look at this process that we need to go through together. And I'm going to encourage you to say some prayers in anticipation of praying that three-word prayer. So the first thing is I must purify my heart. See, for God to use me, for me to pray those words, God, use me, I have to purify my heart. Being used by God starts with the heart. If you've been around sports, you've maybe heard a coach say something like this, you know, that player, they just are, you know, they've got all the skills, you know, they have such great potential, but their heart just isn't in it. And when it comes to being used by God, we have to put our heart into it. That's where the first conflict comes. And a lot of us have a problem praying those words, God, use me. And it's not because we don't want to be used by God, but because we sometimes don't feel worthy. I've met people who say, God, I want to be in the game. I'd like to be used by God, but I just don't believe that I'm good enough. Because God, you know how much I've messed up. Surely you can't use me. And you know what? You're right, you have messed up. I've messed up. You're a sinner that's saved by grace. I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. I'm not worthy to be used. You're not worthy to be used. None of us are. But here's the thing. When we take our heart to God and ask Him to purify it, He makes us worthy. And all throughout history, the only people that God has ever used are imperfect people. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But yet God says He can use us. I mean, if God only used perfect people, nothing would ever get done. So God says, I'll take you. I will make you worthy if you just ask me and allow me to purify you. So let me show you an example of that in the book of Joshua. So we have Joshua, this great general, standing before God's people, and look what he tells them. He says, purify yourselves. And that's what we need to do. We need to confess. We need to say God purifies us, which means we need to claim God's forgiveness. We say, God, I am not worthy, but because of Jesus, make me worthy. So the verse says, purify yourselves, for tomorrow, I like that word, not next week, Not a decade from now, not 30 years from now. He says, purify yourselves now, and then tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. None of us will ever be perfect. God loves to take imperfect people who come to Him and say, would you purify me, God? And guess what? He'll start using you tomorrow. In fact, He might even start using you today. It starts with purity. So right now, would you just silently just say that prayer in your heart and say, God, would you purify my heart? And then say, God, do great wonders through me. There's that prayer up there. Would you just pray that in your heart and just say, God, purify my heart. God, do great wonders through me. So before I say, God, use me, I have to purify my heart. And then number two is I dedicate my body. I dedicate my body. Being used by God not only requires the heart, but it also requires your body. And I know a lot of times we've messed up, but when God uses us, past failures don't disqualify us. Imperfections don't diminish our opportunities. So we purify our heart. But then we also say, God, I want to give you my body. Much like an athlete disciplines their body, being used by God oftentimes requires some physical effort on our part. Being used by God requires that maybe we sweat a little bit. Now, being used by God doesn't mean you have to run a 40-yard in 4.5 seconds, thank goodness. And being used by God doesn't mean you have to run a triathlon, or I'd be in big trouble. But being used by God does mean that you have to take some action. You got to make some steps. It means you got to be willing to maybe sweat a little. It means you got to show up. Just like athletes use their body for a temporary purpose, God says that we use our body for an eternal purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Athletes practice discipline and self-control. At least most of the time they do that. We've had some instances, you know, in the news where they weren't so good at that. But athletes practice discipline and self-control. But here's the plot. They do it to win a prize that will what? It's going to fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. And so I have to be straightforward with you. One of the reasons that some people aren't used by God is because of laziness. It's a painful word. But they'd rather sit on the sidelines and say, just let someone else be used. I don't have the energy. I'm too old or I'm too young. I don't have the talent. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to get in the game. I'm not going to show up. So are you willing to put some sweat in for God? Are you willing to set aside some of your limited energy and use it for God? Are you willing to get up a little earlier or maybe stay up a little later? Are you willing to dedicate your body to God? If you are, then maybe just right now you would say in your heart this prayer, God, I dedicate my body to you. I want to use my energy to make a difference. I dedicate myself to you. Would you go ahead and just pray that prayer silently if you feel comfortable with that prayer and say, God, I want to use my body for an eternal prize. I want to use my energy to make a difference. God, I dedicate my body to you. And as you do that, then that takes us to the third step, which is to simplify my schedule. Probably the hardest part of it all. One of the reasons we often don't have the energy to be used by God is simply because we're way too busy. We've got so much going on. And if that's the case, then we need to simplify our schedules some. God can use an imperfect person. And God can use a person who has some limited physical abilities, but God cannot use a person who's overscheduled. And a lot of times, people schedule God right out of their life. So as a side note, I know how challenging this can be. It's challenging for me and Cheryl to do that. I mean, there are many things that can happen on a Sunday morning. Sometimes they plan birthday parties or graduation parties or there's going up north. Or, you know, there's just all these choices, but then we say, no, Sunday mornings for church, we're going to be here. And you might think, well, you're the pastor. You got to be here. True, but Cheryl, she chooses to still be here. I remember back when my kids were in school, and there were some tough choices that we had to make. Certain sports that they couldn't be played. Certain overnight parties that they weren't allowed to go to. Certain opportunities that we had to say no to because I wanted my kids to see church as a priority when they were young, so that hopefully when they got older they would make church a priority. And what I've learned is, in order to say yes to God's best for us, we sometimes have to say no to some really good things. Now, there's nothing wrong with sports. And there's nothing wrong with activities, and it is really important to take a vacation every once in a while. But if it's regularly getting in the way of worship, then it's not what's best for you. You're not being wise. You're not being what the Bible calls a good soldier for Christ. In fact, let me show you a verse that maybe you've never seen before. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Paul's talking to Timothy about being used by God, and he says, look, Timothy, you're really like a Christ soldier. It's kind of an interesting term there. As a Christ soldier, don't let yourselves become too tied up in the affairs of this life. That ties back to 1 Corinthians 9:25 about things that will fade away. Don't let your schedules get too tied up with things that will fade away. Make sure there's room in your schedule for the eternal. Don't become too tied up in civilian affairs of life. For then you cannot satisfy the one, who of course is God, who has enlisted you in his army. You know, I've struggled with time management, and I've struggled with the demands of family, the demands of activities, and all the things that we like to enjoy. I've learned, though, to make priority, to have time to do God's will. If you're overscheduled and you don't have time for God to use you, then you're probably doing something outside of God's will for you. And maybe you need to say no to some good things so you can say yes to God's best for you and being used by Him. All right, this is a big issue, but if you pray about it, if you would say this prayer up here on the screen, God, help me to simplify my schedule. Help me to leave room for you in my schedule. If you just silently say those words to God, God, help me. This is hard. Help me to simplify my schedule. Help me to leave room for you in my schedule. Leave room for worship. Leave room for serving. Leave room for a small group. Leave room for that gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit to prompt you to interrupt your plans for the day, to be used by God in a unique way. God will show you what you can say no to so that you can say yes to Him. Purify my heart. I dedicate my body. I simplify my schedule. And then I fortify my faith. To be used by God, I do all of this, but then I stir up my faith that's in me. The Bible says that if you only have a little bit of faith, you remember Jesus compared that little bit of faith to a certain kind of seed. What seed did he compare it to? A mustard seed, right? A little tiny mustard seed. But if you take that little bit of faith, and if you fortify it, and if you nurture it, and if you stir it up, it can grow. And Jesus said it'll grow to a big plant in your life. In other words, a little bit of faith that you strengthen, that you stir up, it can be fortified. If I want to be used by God, I have to properly believe that God can, will, and wants to use me. I mean, that's what faith's all about. So 1 Peter 4 says, strengthen yourselves so that you will live here on earth doing what God wants, not evil things people want. God says we should strengthen ourselves. That means fortify that faith. You have to have this faith that God really wants to use even you. You purify your heart, you dedicate your body, you simplify your schedules, and you say, God, stir up my faith. Fortify my faith. I believe you want to use me. If you would pray that prayer that's on there, if you feel comfortable with those words, just say to God, God, stir up my faith. Fortify my faith. I believe you want to use me. Now, if you prayed those prayers, let me tell you what's probably going to happen. Your enemy, the devil, is now going to start whispering in your ear things like, who are you to pray, God, use me? Look at all the things you've done in your past. He's going to say things like, you're nothing, you're nobody, you've messed up way too many times. And the devil is going to try to quench your faith like a wet blanket on a fire. And so you have to silence that voice. God says, let me strengthen you from the inside out. Let me give you true faith. I use imperfect people who purify themselves. I'm going to give you the strength to dedicate your body. I'm going to give you the wisdom so you know how to simplify your schedule. And then God says, let me strengthen you so that you can be used. Now thinking about that three-word prayer, God, use me. Many people are afraid to pray that prayer because they think, if I pray that prayer, God's going to ask me to do some crazy things, some things I just don't want to do, things that are way outside of my comfort zone. Well, you need to understand, first of all, that God typically uses us according to the gifts He's given us and according to our personalities. So when you pray those words, God, use me, it's probably not going to be to build an ark. He's probably not going to ask you to hang out in a lion's den. But He wants to use you right where you are. He will stretch you. He will ask you to do things you don't think you can until you do it and you find out, wow, I can do this with God. But let me show you how God wants to use you. First of all, He wants to use you with your family, just in your tightest circle. God wants to use you with those that you're closest with, who know you the best. So think about those who are closest to you, your parents, your spouse, your children, your relatives, even those people who are closest to you. They may not be blood relatives, but really they're family for you. Understand that God wants to use you in that tightest circle, your family. God wants to use you where you live right now. And I know that can be hard, because I got some crazy cousins in my family, just like you do. And many of my family, they're spread out all over the country, just like many of yours are. But as we prepare to pray, God, use me, I want you to see this choice from Joshua 24. It says to choose today whom you will serve. And I hope that you'll choose that decision that Joshua and his family made. He said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. God wants to use you right where you are with your family. But then that circle extends. God wants to use you in your family, but He also wants to use you in your church. And the Bible describes the church as your spiritual family. And so when you become a Christian, God brings you to a spiritual family that you then call home. God also, when you become a Christian, ignites in you what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And sometimes it takes a while to discover what those all are. But these gifts, these are passions that God gives you to serve others in your church. On Sunday, you see people who are being used by God here. You see different people sharing the children's sermon and teaching the kids or helping out in the nursery. Up here on the stage, we have volunteers who use their gifts with music and leading the worship. We have ushers and greeters. You see these people every week. What you don't see is all the people that are behind the scenes. While I'm up here, we have our audio and video and Facebook team working. And then there's people who help set up the service, and those who take care of the service after it's done. On Wednesdays, we have a group that prays over the prayer requests of our church. We have this great big group of people who take care of this property and do just keep it beautiful. You know, if your involvement with our church is just an only a Sunday morning worship service, I hope that you have a great experience with that, that you worship, that you learn, that God is speaking to you in this service. I think that's great, but those who serve throughout the week, those that are involved, they're in all in with our church. They just experience ministry at a whole different level. And that's how it's supposed to work. God wants to use you in your church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 talks about this. And so I want to just kind of take this verse apart a little bit. So it says, under His direction, so that's talking about Jesus, we believe that this church doesn't belong to us, right? It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the leadership of this church. It doesn't belong to the church members. This church belongs to Jesus. So under Christ's direction, the whole body, okay, that's the church, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own work. I've got a part to play. You've got a part to play. We all have this special work that we do together. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. I help you grow. You help me grow. We work together. And here's why. So the whole body is, and then underline this last phrase, healthy and growing and full of love. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And here's what's cool about this verse. When you use your gifts in the church, our church benefits. Our church is being used by God. It's healthier. It's growing. It's full of love. But here's the twist. When you use your gifts here to serve, you also grow. And you become more healthy. And you become full of love. Well, how does God want to use me? He wants to use my family and my church. And then also God wants to use me in my work. And for those who are retired, God wants to use me in my retirement. You know, we spend a lot of time at work. God wants to use us there. A lot of people don't think about bringing God with them when they go to work. But if you go to work on Monday morning for God instead of for your boss or instead of for a paycheck, but if you go to work for God, it'll just change your perspective of what work is all about. So I saw this graph about how the average American uses their time. It says, because those words are kind of small, we in a typical day spend about 2.5 hours in leisure, about 1.5 hours in household activities, 1.1 hours eating and drinking, 1.2 hours caring for others, 1.7 hours just doing miscellaneous stuff. But then we spend 7.6 hours sleeping on average. But the greatest amount of time we spend is at work. The average person who works full-time, where they have to go into work, spends about 8.8 hours at work. If you're part-time, it might be a little bit less than that. If you own a business, it's probably more than that. And so when God looks at the totality of your day, He wants to be a part of all those areas. Just like God uses you in other ways, God wants you to use you at your work. And so think about it. How can God use you at work? Well, maybe you could pray for your coworkers. You could on occasion invite one of them, if you have a good relationship with them, to come to church with you. All right? There's just so many different ways if you can just kind of be open to how God might use you in your work. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. If you put that verse up there, it says, "In all the work you're doing, work the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord, not for people." So go to work for God. It'll change everything. And as you pray that three-word prayer, "God, use me," God wants to use you in your family, at church, in your work, and then at the bottom of your page there in your notes, "in my world." God wants to use you in your world. And so we're going to kind of come back to this throughout this series, but God wants to widen the scope of our impact. Yes, in our family. Yes, in our church and in our work. But then in your world, in your neighborhood, in Ortonville and Clarkston and Oxford and Lake Orion and the greater Flint, Pontiac, Detroit area, all around us. And what does that look like? Well, you might think, well, God wants me to use in the world. That just seems so big. Will probably seem really big for the early disciples when Jesus told them to go into all the world. It just seems so big. In fact, in Jesus' days, when he told his disciples to go into all the world, they couldn't actually do it then. But today we can. We can do something today that Jesus' early disciples couldn't completely do. So Jesus reframes what it means to be used in your world in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The context of this verse is it's said just before he's leaving earth to go into heaven. He's lived his life. He's died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. He's about to ascend into heaven. Now we're waiting on him to come back. But just before he leaves, he turns to the disciples. He says, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you're to be my witnesses. When you receive power," okay, Power to do what? Power to purify your heart. Power to dedicate your body. Power to simplify your schedule and fortify your faith. To be used in supernatural ways with the spiritual gifts he's given you. You will receive power and you will tell people about me everywhere. And then just to break it down a little further, he says, in Jerusalem. All right, where was Jesus when he said these words? They were in Jerusalem. So right where you are, in Jerusalem. And then going on in Judea, that's kind of like the greater region. That's kind of like saying where you are in Michigan, throughout southeast Michigan, then in Samaria. All right, that's the places you don't want to go to. The poorest of the poor. The places that have high crime, maybe in Detroit or the south side of Chicago. And then to the ends of the earth. That's everywhere else. To third world countries beyond the borders of the United States. God says, let me use you right where you are. God wants you to use you here. And then that influence expands. And it expands and it expands. And the point is, don't get caught standing on the sidelines. Actually get into the game. Let God work in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria. And why do we do this? We do it for his glory. We pray, God, use me not for our own notoriety, not so that our church looks good, not so that I look good or anything else, but we do it to point people to him. It's for his glory. You know, and so when I pray, God, use me, when God says, game on, and I get into the game, God then gets the glory. Because it's God that's working in us to do things we couldn't do otherwise. And people are drawn to him, and lives are changed, and families are changed, and the world is changed. And for us, our lives begin to make more sense as we get into this, as we serve. We realize that we were created to serve, that we're fulfilled for the first time at a deeper level than anything else we've ever done. Some of us are missing out on fulfillment, on this deep happiness, on enjoyment, because we just haven't got into the game yet. And when you're out serving, we're not saying, you know, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. We're pointing others to God. So Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so I told you about this three-word prayer, God use me. And as we pray that prayer, I want to show you this person that we heard Jeff read about in the Old Testament, Isaiah. Isaiah, he heard this great need, and then he was willing to say, I'll go. Send me. He didn't try to stay on the bench. He didn't say, you know, God, there's probably someone way better than me. This is cool and all being in your throne, but let me list my five best friends. They would do way better. He said, Lord, I'll go. Send me. And so are you willing to pray that prayer? God, use me. And so the blank line there in your notes, if you're following a line, that is for you to write those three words. If you're willing to pray it, just write those three words, God, use me. And maybe put an exclamation mark after it. God, use me. I want us to pray that prayer and say, okay, God, game on. Use me. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking you that you would purify us. That you would take our hearts and cleanse us from the stuff of the world and fill us with the Holy Spirit. That you would do that because of what Jesus' death on the cross and rising from the dead 3 days later, because of what he did, knowing that you see Jesus in us and not us in us. And we come dedicating our body for an eternal prize, asking that you would give us wisdom so that we can simplify our schedule, and inviting you to strengthen us from inside out, to fortify that faith, those seeds of faith that you put into us, that that would grow and encourage us and strengthen us to live out what you're calling us to do. And God, we come today knowing that you want to use us in our family and at our church, in our work, in our world, so that it's for your glory. God, we boldly say that three-word prayer. God, use me. You know, if you haven't said that prayer, would you just say it to him? Either inside of you or out loud, however you want to, would you say, God, use me. Put me in. I'm available to you. God, we're here today. We're saying, I'll go. Send me. Use me. And I pray that throughout the series that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us and fill every person who just prayed that prayer with the power of the Holy Spirit. Empower us to say yes as you open doors to use us. We pray this together in Jesus' precious, holy, and mighty name. Amen.